for sample access. Administered by Boyega Nelson.
Yeah, let me try that.
Wagwan, I go by the name L-O-R-C-O-N, and you're listening to the Sample Access Podcast. Stay tuned.
Amazing stuff, amazing time to be alive. We're back for the Sample Access Podcast, episode number 22. We keep counting and we're grateful for the opportunity, for the fact that we can think of stuff and then, you know, come up with stuff and then deliver it, and then there's people on the other side who listen, and hopefully this is on the good side of history.
Yeah.
10 years to come, 20 years to come, this will, you know, be useful, be relevant. And yeah, that's what this is about. The Sample Access is myself and Nelson's attempt to document some of the lost stories in Nigerian music and perhaps in African music. The fact that songs, a friend of mine was talking about only a few chords on the piano, right?
Yeah, we did that the very first time we were going to work on an episode of the podcast. We talked about how the chords that we have are so
limited.
Small, limited.
So everything you hear in music is a reproduction of...
You have heard it before.
Yeah, you must have heard it before.
So it's nothing new. It's so just maybe like...
Recreation.
Yes, there's this genius moment where you just switch up something, or you press a chord longer than it should be pressed or something, whatever happens. I'm not very rooted in the music thing.
You did mathematics, obviously.
Yes, I did.
Permutations and combinations.
Yes,
permutations.
Of course, I do. Yeah,
so in permutations and combinations, there's a way you can tell how to recreate a word.
Yeah.
You can recreate four words maybe 64 times.
Yeah.
So if someone has done a melody this type of way, two lines, there's a way a melody that went maybe just six places can be recreated all kinds of ways. So
I feel like the early guys, I'm talking about Amadeus, Beethoven, they actually did almost the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's just one tweak.
Rearrangement
of music. And that's why rearrangement in music, or arrangement itself in music, is very important. And one of the things where, you know, we are going to talk about that today.
I was trying to explain what this is about. So the Sample Access Podcast, if you check our bio, you see stuff like music traveling through time and all things in between. You know, we just want to be able to tell that a song in 1940 or 1960 is back in 2020 in a different form. It's like evolution.
Yeah, evolution of music. Darwin. There's always a time for, you know.
Is that Darwin theory in biology? Darwin?
Yeah,
like chemistry?
Yes,
should know.
Yes.
So enough of the, you know, abstract talk. We guys here, Nelson is here, and for the first time on the podcast, we have a guest who will be joining us, because this episode, as you can already tell, is special. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Yinka Oladipo in the building. You will hear from him in a very short while. Nelson, what do we have today? What does it look like?
All right, so you know, we always do something special on the podcast, and today we have something different, completely different. We're talking about old school music in a different light. We're doing Nigerian songs. Tillerman featuring Davido. Oreo was sampling Tunde Nightingale in one of his melodies in Showambe music. And you know, it's all packed and we have lots of stories, background stories that we have to do today. And that's why we have the guest with us today to put us through.
You mentioned the fact that Tillerman, who is a prince, by the way, is a prince of Oyo Kingdom, featuring Davido on a remix of that song titled Oriowo, sampling Tunde Nightingale. Actually, that might not be exactly the way it is, but we have to put it like that because the melody is the same. But the song, we can say that he's sampling from maybe a generation before Tunde Nightingale, and possibly Tunde Nightingale, from what that melody sounds like, may have sampled from a traditional Yoruba folk music. You know, some of our traditional music don't really have an origin. The origins may come from Esefa. How do we say that in English? Ifa Oracle, so to speak. So just to put that out there, but Tunde Nightingale is known by me or by us to have been the earliest expressor of that melody that we're talking about. So Yinka Oladipo is a friend. I don't know if I can call him a music writer or a music historian. But I'm just, we were talking one day about Phil Collins and when you met someone, a Gen Z person who writes.
Two episodes ago.
Who listens to a lot of Phil Collins and it's strange, right?
It's still strange to me till date. So, I still see people like that all the time.
Yeah,
so it's cool.
A lot of people look at us silly when you talk about old music.
Yeah.
It's just out of place somehow. But we always go back, right? You like a lot of old music, right? You like the Sonny Adeyes. And then you even go all the way back to J.O. Araba, Ike Dairo. What is your first approach? First of all, you can give us a little introduction. He is currently a master's student in Futa, right?
Yeah.
And that's like some kind of introduction. But you and music, you and old music, what is the covenant that you have?
Okay. My relationship with old music, go way back. Because when we are young, my dad would play some songs for us, some music from way back, then my new barista, Sonny Adi, Ebenezer Obi. So I developed a kind of love.
Early 90s, right?
Yes, affinity for old music. But when I was growing up, I decided to search further on old music. Then I started listening to people like Julius Araba, Ambrose Campbell, Leroy Chicago, and this man from Ikale. Crossojuba
is Ikale.
Yeah,
I've not heard that before.
He sang popular Anamokore.
He was popular at the time, right?
Yes, popular at the time, but he died young. Him and Wale Glorious. He died very, very young, so he could not blow to the world. So if we sit down and look at it critically, these are the people that made the music. People singing now, credit to them actually. They're sampling and bringing 2+2.
They're recreating.
Recreating songs from.
But actual composition.
These people did actual composition. They sit down, think, compose, and arrange songs. If you listen to their, you can't just but love their songs.
Let me take you back to growing up and listening to what's it called now? Your pops. Was there a point where you started to find music by yourself? By that I mean. Your daddy was playing Ayinde Barista, who else? Sonny Adeyes, obviously.
Yeah.
At what point did you stop listening to your dad's music and started finding your own generations?
When my dad played all those songs for us. You sit down and listen to songs from people like Ebenezer Obi.
Yeah.
He will say some things in his lyrics.
That would make sense.
And you will sit down and think, how did this man think about it? How did this man... What kind of brain did he have?
And he's a storyteller, for instance. He's going to tell a whole story for like 10 minutes.
You listen to
and then he connect the dots.
Like Barista, they will say some lyrics and you'll be like, how did this man think? I started thinking, if these people in the 70s, 80s can think like this, how will people from the 40s, 50s think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went back in time.
So let's go.
Let's go back in time and see how these people think. Then I came across Tunde Nightingale, I came across Ayinde Bakare, Adelu Akinsonya. Then I will sit down and I will listen to their song. These people will talk. And I'll be like, wow, yeah. How would this Baba, how are they thinking then?
So who are the people you found in your own generation? Or are you stuck to the past and you don't want to connect to new sounds?
No. I listen to artists or musicians from my generation.
You know, contemporary Nigerian music.
Thank you. And when I listen to them, some of them sample songs from way back.
Maybe all of them.
And there are this feeling inside of me, like a butterfly feeling that, wow, this song
this is nice.
It's from 1940. This man is singing it now in 21st century. And I'll be like, wow, this is cool. This is nice. It's good to, you know, go back in time. Sample songs and all.
Who are your favorite contemporary Nigerian artists in today's, or you don't just connect to them at all?
I don't have a favorite, actually. No, because no, I can't connect with them.
What's your music folder like right now? Your if I open your music folder, what am I going to see?
Jeez, you find songs from the 50s, 60s.
No Wizkid.
I don't do Wizkid. No, I don't do.
This guy is so old. I thought Nelson was old.
First time on the podcast, man. You don't do no Wizkid. I'm pained.
But then hold on. Of course, there are no. We might have folders for. Folders for Ebenezer Obey, Sonny Ade.
Yes,
but
yes.
The streaming world now, we don't have folders
it's
for
very
the videos.
Difficult. Although recently, I was trying to get a couple of songs. I remember there was this old song, not so old actually. I think Orlando Julius.
Yeah.
A couple of songs I wanted to listen to in particular.
Selma to Soweto.
And there were a couple of other songs. And I just, you know, I went online and I discovered that they have them. Funny story, I think I've said this before on the podcast. Is now the, when you check from like maybe the 80s down to like the 90s, that particular time in Nigeria, like music industry, a lot of them held back their songs because of the record labels that were there were mostly international. You know, I'm sure we're going to get down at that point where Premier Records, the apart from Tambasi, that was Decca Records were from UK.
Yeah, man.
I mean, Decca was opened in 1929, UK. Decca Records, the biggest artist of the 40s.
Are they older than Motown?
Bing Crosby, yes, yeah, of course. Motown is like late 50s.
Wow.
Bing Crosby, the biggest artist in the 40s, was signed to Decca Records. So basically, they knew in and out of music. So they came in, the international guys. But like the Nigerian guys, I'm talking about Evie Ednau, Goli, Alexo, Alex Zito, you know, the guys at that time, you would rarely find like their original sound. Most of the ones are the ones that have been tampered with or so like they kept the sounds. But you see the older guys. I mean, I remember when I was younger, like in the early 2000s, you see cassettes of all that music talking about, you know, I knew Ayinde Barrister from like a very young age. Bakari, Ayinde Bakari for me, very Ike Dairo. I listened to a couple of songs too.
The actual Ike Dairo.
Not the actual Ike Dairo. Even though I didn't know the sound very well, but I'm like, I know, okay, this is
the man.
I can tell that, you know, as it is now, so weird, I can tell this is Ike Dairo's voice. I can listen and say, no,
I know that voice.
You understand? So those guys were, legend actually, so yeah.
You were making a point about Decca Records 1929 and the fact that they came to Nigeria perhaps maybe 20 years after they were created in the UK, right?
Decca Records. Decca Records had like 4 record labels under them.
Okay.
First of all, they were distributed by, I think, Universal Music at some point. Sony had always been around. RCA had always been around. Those were the big guys. Talking about the early days.
Still
music.
The big guys.
Yes,
I mean.
I still the big guys. But you know, there's you know that thing they do now where like one record label serves as the umbrella.
Yeah.
And then there's other.
But I'm trying to establish when they came here. Exactly.
So thinking about the time Decca came in here.
Before 1940.
As at 44, we still had independent record labels.
Yeah.
So Decca wasn't around then. But I'm saying early 50s.
Possibly.
Decca was around. Because I think it's Atlantic Records that came in first.
Mm.
Atlantic Records came in and they wanted to poach Ebenezer Obey at some point.
Yeah.
But I think Decca Records was one that actually they went on to poach him at the end of the
and
day.
And then got him. So I wanted to ask that because I'm interested in the geopolitics as well. Nigeria was colonized by Britain.
So it made perfect sense that Decca Records was going to come at some point.
And you know, independence in 1960. And if music was already in the conversation while we were talking independence and a few years later, music found its way, you know, global music labels found their way here. I'm interested in getting to the story of geopolitical whatever and how it connects to music. Back to Yinka, you have still not, I've not got what I want from you.
Okay.
Are you saying that while you were growing up, age 10 to 20, you did not connect to any kind of contemporary Nigerian music?
Well,
that is not throwback.
Yeah, see, we have things we listen to in music.
Yeah.
Some the beat, some the lyrics. Me, I connect more with the lyrics. If I listen to a song...
But there would always be people who made good lyrics, even in present day.
Yes, yes. If I listen to a song, I search the lyrics. I try to connect to the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense to me.
It's
I just
gone.
The music. Me, I feel old songs make more sense to me than Shake Your Bum Bum, Shake Your...
But they were doing a lot, some...
About being nasty, I remember one woman, the dirtiest song ever was from the US.
But this is America
1957.
Now. And it might be encoded.
There's no encoding. She said something about leaking some stuff. That's all I can say.
And this was 60s or long ago.
You don't have to go far. I want Ike Dairo song, something like Baby Give Me Breast.
Yeah, I mean Victor Olaya.
Shnepita, yeah. Olaya to sang something like that. Yeah. No.
So what I'm just trying to say is that to tell you, to prove to you that the reason why you don't like contemporary music is not because there is no valuable contemporary music. Our grandfathers, as much as they made very good music, they were nasty too. Some of them were nasty. They might not be explicit, but there was some nastiness. So just for you, just to be able to connect, if you didn't like the, you know, Wizkid's, Davido's, Mega 99's or stuff like that, were you connecting to Fuji music?
Yes, thank you very much.
Why?
I connect very much to Fuji music.
Maybe you are just being a traditional man.
You see, you can't sing Fuji. That making sense.
Okay.
Fuji music, the lyrics makes a lot of sense.
Mm.
Look at the likes of Shuba Said, likes of Kiwan the Otis.
Yeah. Taye Currency.
Thank you, Taye Currency.
Allahu
Akbar. What does Mega 99 do? I'm so sorry.
Mega 99 is juju.
What does Mega
99? Is present day juju.
I have listened to Mega 99 a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I've met the man.
Yeah, wow.
I met the man, like, cool. Personally.
Like, he's very talented.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't even know he was that big.
That's juju.
Because obviously, I didn't, like, connect so well to that sound. But, like, I've seen him, you know, a couple of times.
And he plays Owambe.
Yeah, I met him recently, I think last year. No. Last 2 years, October, that was the first time I met him.
Wow, cool.
I was like, Brian, you know, I'm like, this man is really cool. People went crazy. I didn't know it was
he's
was
a big deal.
I didn't know it was a
Let me tell you why he's a big deal. Sunny Ade has said not many people can do what Mega 99 does with stone. He has a baritone that can go all the way up and all the way down. So he's a unique musician. Apart from the voice, he knows how to compose. He makes amazing music. Yinka, let me add this.
You can't, if you are singing Fuji music, you can't afford to sing nonsense.
Because your audience will mess you up. The origins of Fuji will not even allow you to do that. You cannot find a place in the Arab and be lying it.
Exactly.
So I sing the rubbish. Let's come down to this, our modern day music. I think Barry J is doing very well, lyrically.
If you like Barry J, I can give you 10 other Barry J's. Would you appreciate will you start listening to?
You know, one of the things that people need to understand right now, and I'm sure, you know, first time Mr. Guega has gotten me off guard. You know, when we talked about the time I didn't want to listen to a couple of music, he plugged me onto Bosalin, which is all right. This man listens to a whole
all
lot.
Kinds of
See,
things.
See, if you are a new artist and you want to blow, I just come and plug. I'm
See,
just saying.
Sometimes I feel I dump a lot of stuff in myself, things I don't need. I'm just curious, you know, curious cat.
I think you are basically a rap person.
Yeah.
If you open
your
phone,
that's
sure,
my base.
You will see rap. Rap.
Oh,
that's the base.
Rap.
But I listen to South African music. I will just open Vulindela and be listening. In fact, one day I found out about a Rwandan guy. I don't know what he's saying. Is it Angolan? That was sampled by Damian Marley and Nas.
Yeah.
I found that man, and because the music connects to my soul, I don't know what they were saying. I think they were speaking French. But I read about him being a revolutionary, and you can see from some of his songs, Revolution. That is enough for me to connect. That's some value to hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
You like Mega 99. You probably like Saido Shupa.
Mm-hmm.
You probably like Taye Currency. How do you... Let me calm down and ask this properly. you are a Tunde Nightingale, Jay Waraba, Dele Ojo, King Sonny Ade, you are that kind of guy.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, you can still connect to Sayuri Oshoba, Sonny Ade. Mm. What other genre would I be surprised to find out you listen to?
Man, I listen to reggae.
Okay.
The likes of Lucky Dube,
Bob Marley. You are just an old soul. So it's not like you don't. You are just an old soul. But
this man has sang "This Is the Land of My Birth."
Yeah, Eric Donaldson.
Yeah, Eric Donaldson.
Sonia Spence. I was about to talk about Sonia Spence. Yeah. Now, we said something before about, like, you know, dirty music and all that. Sonia Spence's Pure Love.
Yeah.
That's a well put together dirty song.
I've never really figured.
Yeah, it's a well put together dirty song, and it's actually cool. So, like, I think
is it really dirty? Yes, I can hear genuine love, sweet love, pure love.
This is really again. It's actually dirty.
Like, but Juicy Fruit.
Yeah, but exactly. You see, all those songs that are well put together. I remember when I told you about the story of James Ntumi, and we told him that Juicy Fruit is right. This Juicy Fruit is like, no, I know what I'm talking about. It's Juicy Fruit is what you are hearing.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. You understand? And then when he said reggae, I remember one of the biggest man to do it. I don't know why people don't talk about him so much. Desmond Dekker. Desmond Dekker was the one who led the way for people like, you know, Eric Donaldson, Peter Tosh, and also, you know, talking about
Bonnie Wailers.
Like Bob Marley and the Wailers, you understand? Yeah. So, like, all those guys, they got their roots and their vibe, because Desmond Dekker was not... Desmond Dekker was the reggae artist without, you know...
Without dreads.
Without, you know... He had the whole... He was very flamboyant.
This is Jamaican guy, right?
Yes. He did Shanty Town, you know, 007 Shanty Town. A lot of songs, actually. Mm. So Desmond Dekker, I just want to put that out there. Desmond Dekker is who the Wailers looked up to.
Mm.
They're talking about the early days of, I don't know whether you guys know the song, The Israelites. An amazing song. 2 minutes, 47 seconds or so. He just went on and on and on, and it was crazy. That's all I can say.
Speaking of reggae, when you just mentioned The Israelites, there's a song by Bob Marley and the Wailers.
Yeah.
By the rivers of Babylon. I like the remix.
Yes.
You know, there is an actual "There we sat down."
There's one other song.
And there we wept.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Boney M sang it before the Wailers.
I don't know. No. I don't think so.
I don't agree.
I don't think so.
But I don't think so.
Boney M is 80s now. But Frank Farin, no. Frank Farin didn't write that good. I'm sorry.
So maybe the song was.
Came from,
I'm sure Boney M took it from him.
They did probably.
So the Jamaican version, I like that Jamaican version.
I don't know whether you guys know this song. I know we already digressed too much to reggae now.
Yeah, we'll go back.
Waiting in Vain, Bob Marley and the
Wailers. I love that song.
I don't want to wait in vain for your love.
Let's not go too deep. So this is a good segue, right? You talked about Desmond Dekker being a grandfather to people like, maybe not grandfather, but like
direct father to people like Bob Marley,
but grandfather Peter to Tosh, folks like
Shabaranks, Shabaranks, Shinehead,
Chakademos,
you know, Chakademos and the Pliers. Oh, good view. I love reggae music.
Enough about that.
Just give me an assignment. I'll make more research on that.
Back to Nigeria. So Desmond Dekker inspired folks like Bob Marley, I believe. Tunde King inspired Tunde Nightingale, which is where we're going, actually. All of that was shenanigans. Tunde Nightingale is a lot of people respect. Imagine Simi made a remix of one of her songs with the legendary Ebenezer Obey. Ebenezer Obey made a song acknowledging Tunde Nightingale as a father, like as a role model. And Tunde Nightingale, according to history, available history, pays tribute to Tunde King. How much do we know about Tunde King? What was that time like?
No, Juju music was it has its own pioneers.
Yeah.
The likes of Tunde King, Juju Daniel, and one blind man. I don't know if it's Kokoro or Kokoro, the blind minstrel.
Yeah.
The origin of Juju music in Nigeria.
Yeah.
Tunde King, Juju Daniels, and Kokoro, the blind minstrel, they were the pioneers of Juju music.
Mm.
The likes of Tunde Nightingale came later to the scene, and when they came, they took the scene by storm.
Mm.
You know, people started listening to their songs, started doing live shows.
The much we know is that Tunde King is like one of the earliest,
the founding father.
This is like 19 what? 30, 40.
Late 30s, early 40s.
Early 40s, which is very...
Before the advent of
very
electrical music.
Long. For context, World War II.
Mm-hmm.
This is before Nigeria was able to find her feet. before fighting for independence. Yeah. This is in the dead of the, you know, the time.
Mm.
Back then, this was...
You're talking about the 40s, that's, you know, jazz, swing.
Mm.
So basically, you're talking people like, you know, Billie Holiday, Andrew Sisters.
The oldest of the oldest.
Yeah, that's what I'm... That's I'm just dragging this off the top of my head. So Billie Holiday...
I'm sure there was music in the...
Yeah, there was, there was.
In the 1890s.
Obviously, there was 1890s.
But we don't have the... We don't have the names.
1893, one of the songs that I want you to talk... That we're going to talk about at some particular point... was actually sampled from an 1893 arrangement.
1893 is 19th century.
Our next international show, that's what we're going to talk about. An 1893 arrangement.
Bro.
Yes, G-Eazy did that.
Bro.
Yeah, in one of his songs. I'm like, I was just
laughing. G-Eazy?
Yeah, G-Eazy is madness, man.
Wow.
Yeah, he did that.
That's mind-blowing. Anyways, Tunde Nightingale sampled by... Okay, so let me break it down. Tunde Nightingale's song, the song by Tillerman... dropped in the year 2014. A song later featured Davido, but the original song is titled Ori Owo. Let me sing it. We are going to play it later, but Ori Owo, Owo Lori Mi Moji Lowo Royi, blah blah blah.
Oh, bele, that's oro.
It comes from a song by Ernest Tunde Nightingale, the grandfather of juju music around here, so to speak. That goes Bi moregbe egbe ma agba bimba yo elu tun ma tun yo elu si. So this arrangement finds its way back from we were not able to pinpoint what year exactly, but this is from 1950 maybe. Listen, 50 or 55.
Mid-40s to
early 50s. So from 1950, so to speak, a particular melody bounces into 2013. Who is the best math guy here? How many years is that?
For what?
1953 to 2013. That's 70
that's
years.
51 years.
No, that's 60 years.
2014
minus 1954. I thought you people did maths. You people went to school.
Yes, that we all went to
it
school.
Should be around 70 years.
That's 60 years.
60 years actually.
What does that tell us about melodies?
Quality music don't die.
Yeah, it can always come back.
It will reinvent itself.
Yeah.
For example, let's look at the record of Ambrose Campbell from the 50s. Ebenezer Obey made a sample. Later in the 80s.
Who is Ambrose Campbell, by the way?
Wow, Ambrose Campbell is, let's say, the father of modern Nigerian highlife music.
Okay. Good place to ask this. Ambrose Campbell, you talked about somebody from Ikale.
Yeah, Krosi Ojuba.
Krosi Ojuba. You know Comfort Omoge?
Mama Comfort Omoge.
Where is she from, by the way? Shola Alison has redone a song by Comfort Omoge, which is now... the song was gospel in its spirit. I don't know if Comfort Omoge was a gospel artist.
Yeah, he sing gospel.
She made gospel.
Mixed with a little bit of local.
You should have heard that song. So Shola Alison made a beautiful rendition of that song from Comfort Omoge.
And by the way, let me add this. Comfort Omoge sings Ashiko music.
Ashiko.
Ashiko.
That's a genre.
And what's Ashiko music? Ashiko means a music that don't add any Oyibo instruments, any Western musical instrument.
All traditional.
Local, traditional.
What?
Agbamole, Gongon.
What decade was she?
Comfort Omoge was, I think, in
70s?
The 70s.
That means 70s. Even when everybody else was doing... Them Sanuari were already planning electric guitars.
They had synchro system then.
Synchro
system was already.
Fela was arranging
at some point in the 70s.
Africa 70s.
Yeah.
And there was one mama that says, let's do traditional.
I mean, even the Tunde Nightingale we were talking about added guitar to sound.
Yeah.
Funny enough, that was what pushed Ike Dairo out of limelight.
Because he wasn't.
He was doing Ashiko too.
Hmm.
Doesn't want to add Western musical instrument to his
that's like hardcore hip hop nowadays.
Exactly.
And when them episode came to the scene,
they brought instruments,
they pushed him away.
One of the people I listened to, Babawe School, he always talked about how the band progressively got better. If you listen to a lot of Ebenezer Obey, you can tell when the instruments changed.
Yeah.
You can tell when
from the early days there's a difference.
That's still old Obey. But when he did Congo Alago go Kuma, you can tell the arrangement is a lot better.
If you are putting Aymasiko in that scene, where
Aymasiko is
like the new guy.
I think he's a newer one.
Obviously, I remember the first time I heard Aymasiko, the tune and arrangement was second to none.
Mm.
as at the time, I'd not started listening to Fela, so big ups to Fela for all of his renditions. Yeah. And then I remember something that he said in the song. Eni to barowo nu alatun dunu. Do you know that line?
Would you know that?
Till date,
I don't know. What
I still
it means.
Think that's one of the best. I don't know. You know.
I don't know exactly what
I
it
connect
means.
To it. I just feel like okay. You see, you think you can see money. They have told you that dream. You have a dream. No, it's not your dream. It's like you have a dream that you're going to be big.
Mm.
So you're not excited. Like you know what? Let me chill.
But the literal meaning, the literal meaning of that,
is like you see money in your dreams.
In your
like
dream, you think, and you now calm down.
That's one of the best. That's to me. That's one of the best.
That's a sick bar.
Ever. I'm like, no, this is sick.
That's a dope
something.
Bar.
When I started this podcast,
yeah,
I said this Pabazu will just say some things,
and you would think,
and you will sit there
for 2 days.
Exactly.
You know what they are saying.
Yeah.
Any role you do, Allah don't know. I mean, you dreamt you saw money.
And then you calm down.
I
think they pick from Yoruba. Yoruba is a very powerful,
a rich culture. Rich language.
Bro, Yoruba will say 4 words. And inside those 4 words, you can write an entire story.
That's Yoruba for you.
Very deep. I'm sure other languages have, you know, African languages or whatever language, they have these proverbs. But Yoruba, the much I know, very, very deep. This is going all kinds of way, but we'll come back to the sample. You know, what I want us to achieve with this episode is the man Tunde Nightingale and the unsung heroes of Nigerian juju music, early Nigerian music, the people who dared to do it even when there was no pay. The origins of Showambe music, what we now call Owambe music. You listen to these guys now. Bro, we're in the best generation.
Yeah, man.
Not even music, I'm saying
generally.
We are privileged to be in this generation, right? So, I wanted to talk about Owambe guys. Mm. What we call Owambe music now. If Nelson wants to do Owambe music by next year, I can tell you how to start planning. And you will arrange a band and you'll be successful. Maybe not all that successful. but
are you saying I don't have the music?
I'm saying that's not your forte. But you get my point. Let's not just take a chance. But I'm saying,
yeah.
The way I see it, Owambe wedding guys, all they do is a bit of Ayefele, a bit of Obi.
I think those guys are superstars.
They're superstars.
Oh, they're
a
superstars.
Bit of Sunny Ade. Nowadays, they have now expanded to Kiss Daniel and. Bro, they can rearrange
hip hop.
They will rearrange.
You know what? You know what?
They can sing anything, and it works.
You know what? One of the reasons why I like to go to a Yoruba party,
wedding party,
burial ceremony, and this is me saying the truth, the honest truth, is because these guys play and do the weirdest things with this sound. And I'm like, wait, as like. You know, he just picks up Yashak, it's Ibobo.
Yeah, and he's going to sing.
I'm like, wait up. And then I just
and they know it so well.
These things were one of the things that he picked up from people like Ebenezer Obi.
Yeah.
Ebenezer Obi will start a line with, oh, don't worry, oh, oh. Now, that's one line. One line. He goes, oh, don't worry, oh, oh. Nino Ayewa, oh, don't worry.
Yeah, and then the backup
make an entire song.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait.
Yeah.
Who is this man?
So Owambe music is what we know today as party music.
Yeah.
But it came from somewhere. Kayode Fashola. The way it was at the time was that these guys would set up outside if there was a party or anything. You mentioned Wally Glorious. I wish we could touch on that too.
Wally Glorious. Wow.
If there was a party or anything, these were the people who would. What is Showambe music according to Tunde Nightingale? The account is that this Baba made albums in volumes and he called them Showambe series or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he could have trademarked the word. He could have, you know. So it came from that. What can we say was the definition of what he called Showambe music? Juju music with some guitar for party, right?
Okay, let me give you background history of the Owambe sound. You know, when Tunde Nightingale started singing, it was not accepted. His style was not accepted. People in Lagos then, because Lagos was like the hotspot of music.
Yeah.
If you're a musician, if you've not been to Lagos, how will I say this again? You've not, you know.
It's still the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, it's blow.
Even till today, sir, we've never party for Lagos. You never party anywhere.
Yeah, legit.
You know, that was what surprised me in the case of Wale Kurios. He stayed in Akure.
And he was balling.
And Baba was balling.
Where was Ike Dairo? Was he in Lesha?
No, he left Chilesha. I went to Lagos. So
yeah,
because I remember he had the record label with Arun and Shola.
Record Star deal. Records. Okay, they both owned the label.
Both owned the record label, Star Records.
Arun and Shola and Ike Dairo. This is what decade?
Before them, no. Okay, before them, Obey came to the
probably
scene.
Probably
70s. 70s, yeah. 60s.
So Obey is late 60s, so yeah, mm-hmm. it makes sense.
Yeah.
So, back to our Owambe sound.
Yeah.
You know, but when Tunde Nasinge came back to Lagos, you know, he changed his style of music and he was doing praise singing.
Okay.
Yoruba folklore. So when he was praise singing, naturally, Yoruba people like to, you know, they come to party, you sing their praises.
You have to mention their name.
This pay you money and all that.
Mm.
So when he changed his style of singing,
is that the origin of that culture?
I'm going somewhere.
Okay.
So when he started doing praise singing, then when he's singing, he will say Showambe. That thing is it's a double entendre.
Yeah.
No, Showambe means those
is it
girls,
there?
Is it there? No, those girls dance.
Now I now yeah. that I. Now, Showambe means it, like, is your you waist
have,
beat.
Do you have booty?
Yeah.
Nobody should say that as. See, I think this is one of the part where I come in because nobody wants to say it.
Yeah.
So when you say Showambe, like, is it there? Like, do you have booty to shake? Right.
Well.
And also, Showambe, like, are we here?
Let me disagree with you.
Hold on. Go on. I want to hear
if
this.
There is booty, you don't need to ask.
Oh,
you already know.
I am shocked. I dropped the mic. I'm just saying again.
The booty is evident. You don't have to ask.
Actually,
I think it's.
Yeah, it's like a call and response something.
Okay. Is like, it there?
Is it there? Yeah, there. Okay. Showambe.
Owambe.
Owambe.
So let me tell you why it is triple entendre.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is your waist bead intact?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, my waist bead is there. The second one is there a party there?
Mm-hmm.
There is a party there. There's probably a third one, but you know the vibe.
Have you got the booty? Yes, I got the booty.
But me, I don't need to ask. If it's there, you already
so
know.
So that's the original of that song.
So that the culture of praise singing, is it exclusive to Yoruba people? Were the Igbos doing spray me money? Of course.
Yeah.
But it did start from Yoruba.
The life and time of Chief Stephen Osadebe.
Yeah.
No, it stands for People's Club then. People slob gather. This man too.
Yeah.
Oliver the Cook.
Yeah.
Praise singing.
In fact, that story. Oliver the Cook's biggest record is People's Club.
Yeah.
1976. So 2 million records. Two million records. Big time. You know, I'm still one of his biggest records to date.
Yeah.
One of the things that made him who he was as at that time.
Yeah.
Before he died at the age of 66 or so. So yeah, People's Club. That thing you were saying. Even the juju sound itself emanated from praise
singing.
It's just that people like the early guys, you know, as at that time, everybody was doing basically praise singing.
Mm.
It was people like Obey and King Sonny Ade that went like the other route. They didn't follow that particular place. And they would do something else or something. They would sing something else in addition to the praise singing. So saying it comes from 2019 Girl, I think it's just... Yes, you know, paying tribute to the, you know, paying homage
but,
to the...
But it's a common culture.
It's a Nigerian thing.
Yeah.
It's a Nigerian thing. Let's just say that. It's a Nigerian thing.
But then again, there's no trace to 1945 on the Osadebe side. What decade were they?
Chief Osita Osadebe...
Who is the oldest on that axis?
Came before... oldest on that axis. That's quite... That's hard.
So let's save it for later, right? Yeah. I want us to move to the actual sample, Tillerman. We should have talked about Tillerman a little bit, but we have 10 minutes to do that, right?
Come on, we can talk about Tillerman now.
Yeah,
I'm sure people want to hear stories like this.
Most definitely, because he's a prince, right? And, you know, I when I was looking up Tillerman's stuff, I saw it was signed to...
Aquila Records,
owned by Shinopela.
Yeah.
Also, at some point signed to Euphoric Heritage Records, owned by Umar Arishikola. A son to one of the very popular people in Ibadan. So we'll get to Tillerman, but before we leave this old generation music, right? Nightingale died in 1981. This is long time ago, bro. And then the records show that
before post JV.
Yo, records show that he had like 40 albums. I'm sure these were from playing shows here and there.
Short play, SPs.
Yeah. What's this question I want to ask? yeah, I want us to shine light on those people who did not live very long.
Wally Glorious. And
what age was Wally Glorious die?
He was 29. Who is that second person from Mekale?
Juba from Mekale.
Please talk.
Natural death?
Well, there are stories around it. Tell me about those two, the legacies of those two particular guys who did not live long.
Wow, if Wally Glorious had lived long...
He was a prospect, yo. He was supposed to be the next big thing because... And then even now, you talk about Olo too, the albums he made...
You know, the funny thing is, he didn't live Akure. He was in Akure and he was making...
Waves everywhere.
Songs, like mad,
it was original. It's like being in Miami or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And they popping in New York.
No, like the Enugu guys, they tried at some point, but they had to move to Lagos.
Yeah,
legends. You know, the likes of Kawasile, Iwewala, Koko.
Yeah, amazing stuff. Wave
up till now.
Yeah.
I was not like, this guy is 29. He had been thinking that way. At that
and he must have been making music from maybe 20 or earlier.
Damn, if he had lived long... I'm trying to imagine
He would have been playing it big with the
look
big boys.
Look at Juba too. Juba played with Fela, with Chicago. He played with stars then, but unfortunately,
he died when?
He died very young too, very very young.
Maybe around before 40.
40K. No, I don't think he reached 40. Probably in his 20s or 30s.
Please say that name again.
Crossdale Juba.
Crossdale Juba is from where?
Ikale.
From Ikale in Ondo State.
Ondo State here.
Not many albums, obviously.
But his popular song is Anamokore.
Okay, yeah, you mentioned that. We'll look at that. And then, yeah, before we go to Tillerman, American music in this era when 20 Nightingale, Roy Chicago, what's that Baba's name? Arabam. What was in American music from the 40s to the 60s?
All right, so talking about the 40s, you know, most of the songs in the 40s that were actually big were the swing, the jazz, you know, slow tempo sounds.
Elvis Presley.
A little bit of soul. Elvis Presley wasn't in the 40s. No.
When was it?
Elvis Presley is like 60s.
And that's
just... It
doesn't belong to that.
Billy Holiday, the old guys, Nat King Cole, those were the guys. When you move to, you know, the 50s, you talk about people like the Penguins, you're talking people like... Jim Reeves, I'm talking about people that were everywhere. You understand? Jim Reeves, all these ones, they had cult following afterwards. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's not like they were on top from the very beginning. They had to, like, you know, come up. People would, you know, there's a couple of artists that, for example, Dynasty now. People didn't like Dynasty in their heydays. They like Dynasty way beyond their heydays. So that's how, you know, people like Jim Reeves were too. It was big, but were not the biggest. I mean, talking about the biggest group in the 40s, or the biggest artist in the 40s, I said before, Bing Crosby, that was signed to Decca Records. In the 50s, you want to give it to people like Sinatra, because at that time, Sinatra was coming into play. Even though Sinatra came in 55, 56, but he already mastered. Sinatra was one of those artists that, you know, when he held on to the microphone for the first time.
Yeah, he's popular for that.
People just say, you know what? Who is this guy?
Now you get him.
You understand? Like, who is this guy? So he took it from the onset. And then he moved to the 60s, where you had people like Elvis coming into play. The Michael Jacksons, the Manhattans, Four Tops, you know, people were like, those guys, the 60s was the Motown time. I mean, there was a lot of craziness going around, talking about Carla Thomas from Memphis, Queen Soul, and that's Atlantic Records. I think I was having a conversation before about, you know, how Atlantic Records has always been around and they have never looked back. You know, they are one of those record labels that changed with time. Yeah. I mean, Atlantic Records is... They are guarding Burna Boy today. You understand? So, and came all the way from Memphis Soul, because they are a group. You know, that time record labels were rooted to a particular place. Talk about Detroit, talking about Motown.
Yeah.
Talk about Memphis, Tennessee, you're talking about Atlantic Records. You're talking about London. London from the 20s to like the 80s, you're talking about people like, you know, Decca Records. So record labels were rooted to places. So and the thing, you were going to say something too, I wanted to say that the importance of record labels on all those artists. You know, as at that time, if you didn't have a record label, it was almost like you were doing nothing, basically, because, you know, record labels, they held the power to everything. I mean, the invention, the evolution of music sound, of how music is going to sound, how music is going to be sold, came from these record labels. I mean, these guys were there. Talking about the 50s, where you have people like Big Mama Thornton. Those people just wanted to sing. They didn't want to do anything else.
But the record labels will introduce what is bigger than exactly. just singing.
You know, let's not just sing. Let's yeah, open party. We had people that were playing. We had black artists like the Penguins. The Penguins would go and play shows of predominantly white people.
Speaking of record labels creating stardom, because that's pretty much what they did.
Yes.
It's capitalism. If you look at economics,
they wanted to make money. They still do that today.
If this small material, if this raw material can become food, yes, that's good. But how about make it food and take a picture of the food and put it online and make money from that too? And then make it into an NFT. You know, that's record label.
Let's look at Island Records, then Bob Marley and the Wailers.
Yeah.
Technically, Island Records broke that group, the Wailers, because they were pushing Bob Marley.
We talk about this a lot.
All over them. Torture.
They broke up Jackson 5 for Michael Jackson.
For example, it's the same thing Motown did with, although that breakup of Jackson, that breakup of Jackson 5.
I can't put this one there.
It came out of nowhere because they were supposed to do the Wiz, the movie. The Wiz, the movie, and Jackson 5 were present. And then Quincy Jones saw Michael Jackson and he went to meet Barry Gordon. He's like, if you don't let me take this boy now,
There'll be problem.
And, you know, that led to the breakup. Although they tried that with other groups as well, especially the Four Tops. They tried with the Four Tops. The Four Tops never broke. They remained intact. In fact, although there's only one surviving member up today, but they had to move records. They had to move record labels because they knew. And that's one of the reasons why even Majek Fashek and his band, they tried to break them numerous times. That's why Majek Fashek was a promiscuous person when it came to record labels. Island Records, Interscope, Tambasi, everywhere.
Capitalism would hold on to one thing, which is not a bad thing at the end of the day. If this can do 10, why do one? That's what capitalism is about. Let's make you into a star. If you can play stadiums, why play clubs? We are going to sell your music to the world and you are going to make money for us and for yourself, for life. How about that? Are you down? Are you with us? So yeah, that's about, you know, old music and stuff. We always get a chance to touch on these topics. This is exciting for me. This is what we like to do. As much knowledge as we can find and express, we're down for that. Tillerman sampling that melody from Babatunde Nightingale. How much do you guys know about him? He made a lot of songs, but that was like one of his biggest songs. I just found out recently on YouTube that he made a song called Were in It.
Oh wow. I didn't even know Tillerman still made music. Although I discovered that he changed his name at some point
to Tiller.
To Tiller, which is weird because I'm like, what's the difference between Tiller and Tillerman?
Move the man.
But you know, rebranding. We talked about rebranding earlier before we came on air. But the thing about Tillerman is he's one of those artists where the 5 years stuff suck him up.
Yeah.
When I mean 5 years, I mean we have this particular rule in our head as music guys or, you know, the music executives, they're out there, they have those things that 5 years is the only time for you to shine in Nigerian music. And the funny thing is that thing transcends Nigerian music. It works everywhere else too. If you are going to survive in the music industry, because the music industry is wicked. If you are going to survive in the music industry for more than 5 years and still make hits, my man, you're a legend.
You're the real deal.
Forget what anybody says, you're a legend.
See, and that's...
Tillerman didn't get that past that point.
That evolution,
yes.
I like it when I see it. And that's on Two-Face.
Yeah, Two-Face.
That's on P-Square. Yo.
Two-Face,
P-Square. Is not... They are not taking it easy. Mr. P and Rude Boy.
The thing is, you know, and I always tell you this, every single time I find a sample that they picked up from or something, I'm like, these guys did it like nobody else would have thought they could actually do or pull off stuff. I mean, these guys were doing video albums.
Yeah.
When nobody was even daring to do videos.
They were intentional. Exactly. They were very serious about the business.
Listen to a couple of albums. These guys had purely well-made albums. They knew what they were going... I mean, we were talking about Game Over like the last time on the podcast. And we talked about how back-to-back... I mean, 15 songs, 9 of them hits, 6 of them instrumentals. You're like, okay, this is an album.
Even though the albums they drop now might not do as well because the industry is different.
I don't think it's...
But the fact that they can still push and say, yo, you people cannot push us away.
Yeah.
We gather day here.
Yeah.
The longevity is amazing. Back to Tillerman. I'd like to believe maybe he got involved in other things. It's like it's like Olu Maintain and Tolu. Olu left for about 2 years to come back with Yawuze. After Yawuze, I'm sure he has maybe a job somewhere that's why after Yawuze, it was only right for you to drop another album.
Yes.
I think one came later.
Yahuzi was hot.
Yeah,
I
fire.
Even though I wasn't like big on Yahuzi kind of music at that time, I expected that something was going to drop then. Mm. And that was the time where African rave was crazy because you could be, if you're a star in Nigeria, you're a star everywhere in
yeah,
Africa.
Yeah.
Still happens today, but that time was like
the major
hot part, you know.
Yeah, Tillerman, yeah, the much we know about him, one of his songs, Komaro, he did a lot of collabs.
Did he do Komaro?
Komaro.
Sounds like Race.
There's Komaro by okay. Tillerman, there's Roll, that song is actually Roll.
Okay.
Roll by Race. So
then he did a Komaro.
This Komaro features Ice Prince, Fino.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he's a prince of Oyo. His name is Adetona Adeyemi.
Are you sure that's why he's not making music anymore? The money's there. If I was a prince, I wouldn't make music.
Yeah, but
I'm just letting everyone I don't have the musical like skill believe, set, but I'm not going
to
make music.
I'd like to believe he's passionate about that. I mean,
okay,
from
that's
he actually, you know, he was indie artist at some point.
Yeah.
At some point, he joined Euphoric Heritage.
I think there's a story about him leaving Aquila Records.
Yeah, too. Leaving Aquila yeah. To be on his own, I think. So, yeah, long and short, that's the package that we have for today. Did we miss something?
Yeah, I don't think we missed anything. Okay, let me just do production credits.
Recap.
ASAP. All right, so Tillerman featuring Davido, Oriowo, big song in 2014. I think one of those songs that just came out of nowhere and everybody just jumped on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was it. I'm saying this. I like Davido, but I don't think
it's
it
a
was
club banger.
Effect. I don't think it was a Davido.
No, it wasn't.
It was just a song that was good and had to be. You know,
and it was there. See, if you want to blow in Yoruba, make it danceable and pray.
Yeah, that's the thing, right?
My head is head of money.
Exactly.
Don't worry, people will
yeah, good. Yeah, it was produced by JFM. JFM produced Control W4.
See, when you talk about people, 5 years sucking people up, too bad W4 is in that circle.
And I'm pained because I felt like at some point W4 was about to break that
yeah.
circle. And I don't know what happened at that point. Maybe it was money or maybe it was issues.
There was one cool song.
He had a lot going for him at that
point. Even watch me on your telly. All night long.
I don't know, man. W4. And I love
see,
you,
that 5 years, let me say this one. Good one of those people that I'm looking at right now, and I don't know where he's going, is Victor Adi. I hope he tries so that 5 years does not suck him up. After Waiting We Gain, we have seen Motivation, and we have seen a couple. I think he signed a deal, but we
signed
have
a deal with who?
I don't know, but I hope he gets his... Because he only deserves... He's only right that he does well and he goes further here. So, five... But then again, there would always be artists that will not be able to cope with the
true.
Wave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why when people do extreme things to stay relevant, you don't blame them. This is business. This is my life.
Victor Eddie is not really... I don't think he's pushing very hard like them Joe Boy.
It's not his fault. We don't know his story. Yeah, Joe Boy has a deal with Mr. Easy. Look at Black Bones. Black Bones would do anything to... That's what I'm telling people. Black Bones is here
that
in 10 years'
also,
time.
That boy, they also...
He's Black going Bones. To hustle and be here in your
if
face.
You guys, if you guys need a man in a skirt, Black Bones is going to wear a skirt.
He said the first 2 weeks of promoting his album would be nasty. Like, people should expect anything.
Yeah. And you know what? I like that kind of energy. We have not had that kind of energy in a long time. So it's good that we have that kind of stuff right now. Yeah, Tunde Nightingale, Egbema Ami, that's like the what we are going to call that part of that song that was sampled by Tillerman. Great sampling, by the way.
It's not even Egbema Ami. Egbema Agba is a good way to say it.
Egbema Agba. But I like the sampling. I feel like the sampling was unique.
Yeah.
In terms of you picked out something from 60 years ago and you did it and brought it out, you know, you had the nerve.
Yeah.
To say this is going to be my lead song, and it was good. I know he released one song that time. I don't know if that song is popular, but Caro doesn't even know that song.
Have we recapped the production credits?
Yeah, I just said JFM, W4 Control.
Who produced Tony Nightingale?
He
produced himself.
God bless us. I don't know
what that was the band. What was the band sounding like? How many instruments can you tell from that song? I think we heard it together before.
Okay,
now.
yeah.
There was a guitar, obviously.
A guitar is there.
Talking drum.
A tambourine. Okay. And a shaker.
Talking drum, definitely.
Like, no, it's not there.
What was that drum? Agbamole.
It's Agbamole.
Are you sure?
African bass.
I don't even know what that is. What's Agbamole? You know,
shaker was like the bass instrument
there.
The one giving them the beat and the rhythm.
Okay. If we didn't, we just say yes. 2019 girl produced himself.
Someday we'll go to Maria Makeba, because when you talked about drums, African drums, that name comes to mind. Even
you
though she
wants to do an entire season of Maria Makeba.
Right? Maria Makeba very soon on the podcast. So yeah, this is a good place to wrap up. Thank you, Yinka.
Thank you, big man, for coming around.
Yinka Oladipo, thank you for being our first guest, and thank you for, you know, this is history. I like this. This is good stuff.
History is sweet.
Yeah.
But Mali said, if you know your history, you will know where you are coming from
and where you are going to, most definitely. Yeah, thank you for listening. Nelson, wrap up your handles. Your
all right, so this is the part where I tell you my handle and you follow me by force. All right, on Twitter I am nwaenie.nelson.n, and on Instagram nwaenie.nelson. You can follow us on the Sample Axis Podcast on Instagram and on Twitter at Sample Axis Pod.
I was actually wrong. Our guest should actually be the one to
plug yourself. I took the shine.
Are you contemporary enough to be on social media?
I'm not the social media type, man.
Oh, you are not on.
Look at that! I'm shocked.
Are you sure you are not a caveman?
No, I'm actually.
Of course, on Facebook,
on Twitter.
Oh yeah, yeah,
no, that's yeah. enough.
Caveman,
no.
If you're on Twitter, you're not a caveman.
Give actually, us my Twitter handle is i_writer2.
What say it again.
Day, but you know what? Like, we good.
At
I_writer2.
Writer is spelled
writer.
R-I-T-E-R. Then okay. You put number two.
That's actually weird, but you're a caveman.
I don't even know what to say,
man. So yeah, follow Yinka Oladipo at I_writer2 on Twitter, Facebook. Do you like
Yinka Oladipo? I don't do Facebook.
Okay, I do Facebook, though. I mean, like, if you guys are following people on Facebook, I mean, take
so yeah, it reminds me of Focalistic. Better is.
Yeah, you know.
So yeah, please share this with your friends and, you know, support. Listen to previous episodes. You can share with your family members. Share with everybody around you. Get this to as many people as we can. Yeah, Nelson, Yinka Oladipo, and myself, Buiga. We'll see you next time.
Yeah,
we out.
Yeah, we out, baby.
We out. Yeah, thank you.
Mora baba mora baba modega kavo mweko. Alaye doba akuton moko e bi more pe mata bi more pe egbe mata bi more pe egbe mata bi bayo e lotun ma tun yo e lusi alaye doba akuton moko e bi more pe
Administered by Boyega Nelson.
Yeah, let me try that.